lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Right now, I'd like for us to look at some of the disciples of Christ, and in particular, the choosing of the 12. And as we look at this, we're going to see Christ, a man of prayer. And just before we look into this, let's pray. Father, I ask now that you would guide and direct. Help us, Lord, to glean from your word what you would have us to know today. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. And Father, thank you for those who have trusted him as Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Christ was a man of prayer. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Well, our Savior was a man. We're people. We're in the flesh, and we're people. And we can learn from our Savior's what he did in this life. And one of the things we can learn from is his prayer life. But keep in mind, he was a man as he walked on this earth. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Well, he's alive today. He didn't come out of that tomb spiritually. He came out alive, fleshly. And the Bible teaches us that if he did not, then we're of all people most miserable because we're still in our sins if he did not rise bodily. But thank God, Paul tells us in his writings that Jesus did rise bodily. And so therefore we can rejoice because one day we too will rise bodily. Our bodies will be changed to be fashioned like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 15 it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Well, our Savior is a man. I mean, his body was changed. He's in a physical body right now, and one day we too will have a physical body fashioned like our Lord's. Well, he's a man of prayer. He's a man, but our Savior is also God. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, if we keep reading, we find out in John chapter 1 and verse 14 about the Word. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is begotten of the Father? Jesus Christ. Who was made in the flesh? Jesus Christ. Who dwelt among us? Jesus Christ dwelt among men and women as he walked upon this earth." So we see that Jesus is God. He's not only man, he's God. Well, and then we see that our Lord prayed to the Father throughout his life. We can learn a lot from the life of Christ, and one of those things we can learn is to pray. Now remember, now we're looking at Jesus. He prayed, and he was a man of prayer. He was God. And he went to the Father, God the Father, in prayer. And in particular, he was going to choose 12 apostles. But notice this, he prayed throughout his life. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Now, there are many scriptures that talk about his praying. And another one is Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." He got alone with the Lord, with God the Father. And you keep reading all through the scriptures and you find out that Jesus Christ prayed to the Father throughout his whole life. He prayed. He discussed things with the Heavenly Father. Now, we discuss things with our Heavenly Father today in prayer. We speak to Him in prayer. He speaks back to us in the Word of God. And once again, let me remind you, I do use the King James Bible, and I believe that is the Word of God. God speaks to me through that. He lets me know what He wants and what He expects of me as a saved person. And He also lets me know what He expects of every person in this world and what he wants. He wants every person in this world to know His Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. He wants people to go to heaven. He wants everyone to have eternal life. And that eternal life comes by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, notice next now, Jesus prepares to choose. And He looks for instruction for choosing. In Luke chapter 6, and we're still talking about prayer here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He prayed to the Heavenly Father. What did He pray for? Well, Jesus prayed for guidance from the Father. He was about to make an important decision, and Jesus must choose from a multitude of followers. Only 12 would be chosen, and Jesus had to decide. God the Father must be communed with in order to know of a certainty which men would be the chosen 12. God's choice must be determined. Well, after praying, a decision was reached by Jesus. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13 says, "And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples," those followers who were following Him, "and of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles." Now, these men alone would belong to a select group known as the 12. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "And He came unto Him, and He called unto Him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 32, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him." Well, once again, He chose a select few that would be the 12, and He sent them forth two and two. In other words, He gave them certain responsibilities to do, certain things to do. Well, these 12 men were named apostles by Jesus. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 13, "And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles." Well, note this. Jesus not only prayed for these men, the apostles, He would also pray for all who receive Him as Savior. And we read about this in the book of John, chapter 17 and verse 20. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone," in other words, His apostles, "neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on Me through their word." What word? The word of God, that God would use them to pin down. And we have that word today, and we go to that. And he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, the apostle, but for them also, which shall believe on Me through their word." And their word, actually, we have it, and it is the word of God. He has inspired it. It is the Word of God. It's God-breathed. It comes from God. Well, notice that these men would be sent on an important mission to the nation of Israel. Now, later on, I would ask you to open your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. And I'm going to read one verse of that, and you can read the rest of it. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "When He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Well, Jesus sent them to the house of Israel, to the nation of Israel, and He wanted Israel to know who He was. He was the King of kings and Lord of lords. But it's unfortunate for Israel at that time that they refused Him as King of kings and Lord of lords. And you read about that as you study the Word of God. And it's sad that the Jewish nation has refused to receive Him as the Messiah even today. But thank God for those Jewish people who receive him as Savior today. They're saved the same way anyone else is saved, and that is by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, these men, the 12, who would be the first to observe the Lord's table, where we read about in Matthew chapter 26. In verse 26 through 30, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now, the 12, they were present at the beginning of all of this meal that they had. They ate a meal together, but I do not believe that Judas Iscariot was there to partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper that we, the Lord's table that we observe in churches today, that is something for saved people. And as saved people, we are to remember our Lord as we are partaking of that. If he's not your Lord, you're not supposed to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. In other words, you're not to be eating the wafer, the bread, the unleavened bread. You're not to be drinking the juice of the vine in remembrance of his blood being shed for you on the cross of Calvary. If you're not saved, you're not supposed to do that. Well, notice that these men, once again, with the exception of Judas, I believe, were among the first to see the resurrected Savior. Judas, at this time we're reading about. We look on in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 5. We know that at this time Judas had already gone out and hanged himself. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Now, let me say that Jesus Christ left instruction for people of this world in order to be able to go to heaven. If you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you're not on your way to heaven. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're trusting in water baptism to save you, it's not going to work. You're not going to go to heaven that way. If you're trusting in a certain church, in order, you may attend a certain church, and you think by attending that church, you're on your way to heaven. Well, you're not on your way to heaven if you're just simply trusting in a church, a group of people, will say, in order to get you to heaven. It must be a personal decision on your part to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says you must repent. It teaches this. You must repent. You're sorry for your sin. You know that you're a sinner. You know you can't save yourself. You admit that. Admit it to the Lord. And let him know that you realize that without him, you will not go to heaven. And once again, if you're depending on anything, anyone, or anything else to get you to heaven, you're not going to go. You must depend upon Jesus Christ to save you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No amount of good works will take you into heaven. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that means you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Christian, today, you and I, need to learn to live for him, to serve him. And one of the greatest ways to get close to him is in prayer. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray. Talk to the Heavenly Father.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.